Not every family looks the same. That's just one of the lessons Queer Eye's culture guru Karamo Brown wants you to take away from the new children's book he penned with his son, Jason Rachel Brown. It's called I Am Perfectly Designed, and in it, Brown does something for his fictional son that he did a lot for his real son when he was young. He hammers that message into his head. I sat down with both Browns when they were in Phoenix recently for a sold-out event at Changing Hands Bookstore. Theirs is not a traditional family story. Karamo was a reality TV star before he found out he was a dad. He became the first openly gay black man on TV when he joined the cast of MTV's The Real World in 2004. It wasn't until after that experience that he found out he had a 10-year-old son.
With my last girlfriend and best friend in high school, and when I found out, I moved back to Texas, and I was in a very dark place, was just getting out of that dark place. And I tell people, Jason saved my life, because him coming into my life and me becoming a father made me then realize that my action had consequences and that I was going to be mirroring behavior that I didn't want my child to actually also do. Yeah. And so it made me get right back on the path that I was raised to be on. And with the support of his mother, I got custody of him. He moved in immediately. And our journey started together. And during those formative years is when we started to realize, you know, I didn't have all the money in the world. I'm now just was on reality television where I was openly gay. And those things for me were like, oh, I can get through this. But they were hard for Jason because yeah. Now he's getting bullied at school from friends who are like, you don't have any money. Your dad's that gay guy from Real World and things like that. And I had to figure out how to support him through that immediately. And that's what is represented in this children's book, but in a fun, uplifting way.
Jason, tell me what this was like when you're 10 years old, you're not a little kid anymore, and you get to meet your dad for the first time. What, were you scared?
I was a little nervous. I was also kind of didn't want to meet my dad at one point, just because it was just like, yo, it's been 10 years, like, where have you been?
So there was a moment there when you're going to meet him when you weren't sure you wanted to?
Oh, I hid under the bed. Like, my mom had to come pull me from under the bed the night he came to the house. Mm-hmm. And because I was so nervous.
Yeah. So how did you kind of build that relationship, right? I mean, so Karamo, you had been working and most of your background is in social work, right? So mm-hmm. I think you knew something about how to let a relationship grow. But this is very different. It's your son and you hadn't known him for much of his childhood. How do you build that?
It was a lot of just honest communication. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. I never pretended like I knew everything. Mm-hmm. I allowed him to have an equal say in conversations, which I would encourage this for not just a parent that is meeting their child for the first time, but any parent. I think sometimes as parents, we feel as if we need to shield our children. There's an old saying that, you know, some generations say of like, a child is better seen, not heard. And I disagree with that. I think when you stifle a child's voice, you start telling them that their opinion doesn't matter, that they shouldn't be curious about the world, that they don't have ownership over their body, so many different things. And I didn't approach it that way. So I would come to Jason and say, hey, let's talk about this. Of course, I'm dad and the authority. So at some point, I'm going to make the final decision, but I would give him an opportunity to be a part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And that went in with, you're afraid to move in with me. I think that when you moved in with me, I asked you if you wanted to move in. It was a conversation we had, me, you, and your mom.
I knew I wanted to move in, like, after the first weekend hanging out with you.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, that's sweet. So it was like, you know, we talked about it. So it was a transition for me. We were raising each other, to be honest with you. I was raising him, he was raising me. And I say he was raising me in the sense of like, I was 26 at the time. And so I'm a baby who was a train wreck, you know, now turning into an adult who has to be like this soaring plane through the sky. And you're just like, okay, let's figure this out.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Jason, what was this like from your point of view, right? Like, I mean, you were initially a little afraid of this, a little apprehensive, mm-hmm. but you decided you wanted to be a part of it. Did you think that he was a train wreck? Did you think he didn't know what he was doing?
Actually, no, I didn't even. So when you just said that I was raising you, that's news to me because I was like, dad has got this. Like, he's done this before because, you know, right? Yo, he did an amazing job, I thought. I never suspected that he didn't know he didn't know what he was doing. So
as most kids don't. Most kids have no idea that their parents don't know what they're doing.
Thank goodness.
I know, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about this book, right? So the title, I Am Perfectly Designed, which was, I read, a mantra that your dad said to you after some of these challenges that you faced living with him. Give us a sense of what that was like and why it was necessary for you.
Well, I used to get bullied all the time. I remember when I started skateboarding, changed my friends, my clothing. People started making fun of me for the smallest things, like my skinny jeans. And so it would really get to me, though. And I would come home to my dad and tell him how I was feeling. And he would literally just let me know that you are perfect. Like, do not let any of these kids get to your head. And I still tell myself that mantra to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
It's such a powerful one. Had you heard that before, Karamo, or where did you come up with this?
I hadn't. So I grew up religious. So I grew up in a Christian household. I went to church every Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, whatever you name it. That's the Southern way we lived. And there's this sort of saying that, you know, God designed you. You know, he broke the mold. He made you as you're supposed to be. And so that was always lingering in the back of my head. And then I sort of just made it into I Am Perfectly Designed as sort of a new mantra, but it was based off of that. And it was really just to quiet that noise, because whether you're a kid who's 6 years old in school or whether you're an adult, we all have so many people who try to knock us down daily, whether they're doing it consciously or unconsciously. And I tell people this story of, like, I can't tell you how many times I have woken up in the morning, looked at myself in the mirror, and felt so good about what I look like, feel good. I feel like, all right, I'm about to kill it at work, I'm about to kill it at school, whatever. And then you walk out the door and immediately you get a call from a parent or, you know, who says, oh, you're still doing that, or you're wearing that, and your self-esteem starts to go down. Or your boss walks in and says something and you're just like, wow, again? And then you start to believe these messages. And over time, you start to forget that you are perfectly designed as you are, that these people were trying to put their insecurities onto you. And, you know, by telling Jason that, it was a way for him to remind himself, quiet that noise. Listen to yourself. If you can listen to yourself, then you'll always be able to believe in yourself and know that you're enough.
Yeah. So to end with, I just want to ask a question about sort of a twofold question. I guess, first of all, what do you both hope people get out of this book?
Sure.
And then, you know, and what do you hope people kind of get out of your story, your family story, which maybe doesn't, you know, look or sound like everybody else's?
Well, I think you just hit it on the nail, first of all, with the family story.
Literally.
Is that families come in all shapes and sizes. And the one thing that is always true about a family, and I think what makes a family, is not blood. It's not living in the same house. It's love. And sometimes some families are separated by space. Some families, you know, have different races, different genders, different sexual orientations. And the love and respect they have for each other is what makes them a family. And that's what Jason and I have for each other. And what we have for our now blended families that have come together is we all love each other. We all respect each other. And we always use that as the guiding light and principle as we move forward in anything. And I just really hope as people read this book, whether they're 5 years old or 55 years old, is remember that the world will try to knock you down. And it has tried to knock all of us down at some point. And it is hard and it's challenging. And you want to go into your corner and just say, enough is enough. I can't do it. But you have to believe in yourself and remember that you have all the tools you've ever needed to create the life that you deserve. And if you can remember that, things will get better. But there's a part in the book that's really important for me, that Jason's character says something that I say, you have the ability. Part of your perfect design is to ask for help. And that's true for everyone else. If there's something you want out of life and you don't know how to get it or you're scared to get it, ask for help, because that's part of your perfect design as well.
Jason. I would say that repetition, when it comes to, for this book, I want people to take out of this that repetition for themselves and self-love, because you are perfect. And that's something my dad embedded in my head, almost beat into my head. And,
let's not say the word beat.
I like beat, come on. But like, you really made sure that was stuck with me. And I'm glad you did, because with time, I just kept telling myself that. And now I don't need him anymore to tell me that I'm perfectly designed, because I already know that. And so I just want people to just kind of repeat it, because I know it won't happen the first time that you say it to yourself. So I just want people to repeat that.
That's what Jason's saying is some truth, y'all. Y'all better listen to this, young. Because repetition is key. That's how everything works with our minds. We mm-hmm. just repeat it and we believe it. Someone tells you can make that goal after a while, you're like, I really can make that goal. So repeat nice things to yourself. Repeat, I am perfectly designed, and you'll believe it.
All right. Karamo Brown, Jason, Rachel Brown, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.